Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
Same place.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Testing.
Hi there, pal. How's it going? What time is it there?
It is 11 a.m., a reasonable time.
And it's 1900 hours here. I don't know why I said it like that. It's because it's on the computer like that.
Yes, 7 p.m.
Again, reasonable.
Yes.
In bath by 9:30, in bed by 10, if not before.
We're both alert. We've had some food.
Loads. This story is well written and planned out, and I was even cutting bits out going, probably written a bit much there. So that's all good. And
yes.
It's good to do it now because I'm going on a girls' night out in Newport.
Ooh.
So lock up your sons.
Where is
Wales?
Newport, and what's so great about Newport?
Well, I haven't sampled the nightlife personally, but Carly gives it a good 5-star review. And it's just like, because like we're like 33. So like, you know, when you're in your 20s, you go out like every weekend and you get dressed up and go out. Like we're going to do that. Like we're going to be like heels and like a bit of your bra hanging out. Like we're going to do like real
love it.
Dancing and cocktails and like,
I want a night like that.
That kind of
Talissa,
thing.
Talissa, we're having a night like that when you come out here.
Mate, of course. Last time I came out to see you, we went to Flaming Saddles, which is like a gay strip club.
That was fun. I was looking at pictures the other day. I almost posted one for your
men in arseless chaps.
Of you. Yes. Yeah, you're on a swing. There's a swing in that bar. I don't know if you remember it, but it's you're
well,
in action.
Well, we'll go
on
back there or anywhere you want.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. And everyone like who lives in Bristol grows up and then moves to Newport because it's so fucking cheap.
Mm.
Like the houses, okay, let's say for example, 2-bedroom house in Bristol, not even a house, like a shitty flat, is about £250,000. And that's like good.
Yeah.
That's like reasonable.
Yeah.
Whereas in Newport, that would buy you a fucking mansion with like 10 acres. Like,
it's so crazy.
I'm not joking. There's houses for like £60,000. And it's like just over the bridge. It's not even like far, like it really is. Like I could be there, if I left my house now, I could be there in 20 minutes. It's crazy.
That's amazing.
20 minutes. So I'm kind of need to get in there because I think it's going to be one of those places that's like up and coming.
Yeah.
Like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, Brooklyn was rough, but now it's like uber cool.
Right. Or if you're in LA, Highland Park, Eagle Rock, like East LA, that used to be very rough. And now it's very hipstery. Gentrified to the max.
Coffee shops, sourdough bread, £6. That's where we're headed in Newport. I think it'll take a while, so we're gonna get in there quick. But yeah, that's my plan. And two of our friends have moved there and bought houses. And my friend Aaron is a girl. Her name's spelled Arryn. And she bought a house and it had like 70s wooden cladding, like all on the inside of the living room. And she tore it off, and I was like, "What are you doing?" Like,
oh man,
I love shitty 70s shit. Like, yeah, I'm gonna next. That is next on my agenda is to buy a house, maybe in Newport.
Well,
like
I hope
a
you
new
do.
Build in
I'll
Bristol,
come and stay
know.
With you.
Yeah, of course, mate.
Okay, so I have a little bit of true crime news, something that I wanted to talk about.
Ooh, yeah.
So if you've been a listener since the beginning, our very first episode about marginalized people. It's not like I don't have like new breaking news or anything like that. I just wanted to say that. So my first story that I ever did was about Olivia Lone Bear, who
I remember it.
Yeah, she's part of the missing and murdered Indigenous women, or they found her, but she was part of that whole movement. And Dateline just did a really good episode covering that. And I just wanted to share that because it's becoming more of a, it's becoming more mainstream, which is a good thing. Like more people are learning about missing and murdered Indigenous women. And they mention Olivia Lombaire in that episode because remember the woman who she took her boat out and found?
She said she was a psychic.
Is
it that woman?
She just kind of injected herself into that whole story, and there was a split between the family because some family were like, way too much into this and you're taking over and you shouldn't be. And then the other half of the family were like, you've helped greatly and you know a ton of things.
Wasn't it that she had a friend who had a like sonar thing that could detect things in the river. So she went in the river or the lake, and found the car.
Yes, found the truck that Olivia Lombaire was in.
And police were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Did they say it was too expensive and that's why they didn't do it, or did they just not do it at all?
I think because of the size of the lake, then they were like, this is going to take forever. And it probably was too expensive. And then there's all this jurisdiction between like the native police and then the state police and the city
tribal police.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, the Dateline episode is about that woman because her niece went missing and was murdered. So,
oh God,
she knew exactly what to do because she had been doing it with Olivia Lombaire. And so the Dateline episode just follows her journey in that.
Is she Indigenous as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's like, oh, that's a bit of a fucking coincidence that her niece was murdered, but not really, because loads of Indigenous women are murdered.
Yeah, and she...
So it's not that much of a coincidence.
Right, and she became, like, she became this sort of person who a lot of those people would... Yeah, and a lot of those people would come to for help. So she already knew what to do, and then when it happened to her niece, then she put all those things into place, so... Yeah, I just wanted to...
That's so interesting.
Listen to that Dateline episode. It's the latest one. It just came out. And I'm just happy that that's more like out in the public and more people know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Good true crime news.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned it in a previous episode, but there's a guy called Colin Pitchfork in the UK. Yeah. And he has been... released after like I can't even remember like 40 years or something after killing two teenagers and he was the first guy to be put away with like DNA testing in England. Like they DNA tested the whole village and he got his friend to give DNA for him.
Whoa.
Like using his passport, he was like, he kind of looks like me, so like he like got away with it basically. And then later on the friend came out and said, I'm really sorry. I feel so guilty. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Wow.
And then anyway, Colin Pitchfork got arrested, but he is now out on bail. And they were like, he has some of the tightest restrictions. He's got an ankle monitor on and he's only allowed out during these times. I'm just like, you can still kill someone.
Yeah.
If you're allowed out for like 10 minutes.
Doesn't take much. Exactly.
And like people have gotten... full life tariffs for less. I think he just probably really knows how to like play the system, because the whole thing with prison, and I think both English and American prisons where they get the chance, is like rehabilitation. And if you're willing to participate in the system that is supposed to rehabilitate you, like if you tick all those boxes and they still say no, then what's the point of having them?
Right.
He's obviously done everything he was supposed to do, so they can't say like, no, fuck off.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't say no. Like, he's done everything.
I just feel like if you're a psychopath, you're going to tick all those boxes easy. No problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the
say whatever you want.
For the people who are actually like, there are some people, and I'm sure it's very rare, that do benefit from seeing a therapist and participating in all the different things that prison is supposed to help in rehabilitating you. But
yeah,
it just
but
sucks
what he did.
Yeah, like
he raped and killed like two teenagers.
That's
girls. Strangled them to death and left them in a bush. That's not a crime of passion. That's not like
no.
accidentally punching your friend in the face and them dying. Like, that's like, you, do you know what I mean? And then he like went around and then he tried to hide it. And yeah. like a lot of, I don't know.
That's psycho.
Scheming.
Yeah. Like, there's no, you can't rehabilitate from a no remorse. That, yeah, if you're not, if you don't regret it, if you don't, if you're not remorseful, there's not really any changing the thinking of that.
It's just, on what planet, yeah. like, is that, do you know what I mean? Right. Is that in your realm of thinking?
Yeah.
It should be just a natural instinct to be like, of course not.
Yes.
Of course I'm not going to do that.
Right. Like, or of course I should shouldn't be in even prison be on the radar. Forever for having done something like that. Like,
yeah, you would feel so free. Guilty. You'd be like, I don't even deserve to, yeah.
Right.
The guilt would have eaten you up so much you might have killed yourself. Like,
yeah, or I'm staying in prison forever. I deserve this. I am sorry.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So hopefully nothing happens with him.
What a last name, too. Pitchfork.
I know. Violent. Yes. Like, what a violent last name. Bit Satan-y. Satan vibes.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got, I'm not gonna lie to you, my story is fucking long this week.
Oh my, I'm so excited for your story. I was like, I was writing mine and mine only goes back a couple hundred years. Like, yours goes back to the beginning of time, basically.
Mine goes back 1,000 yes. years. Literally 1,000 years.
Yes.
It goes back. More, 1,500 years is the first record.
Yeah.
So strap in. Anyway, let's hear yours because okay. you're first this week.
I am first this week. All right. So our theme this week is the history of the death penalty in each of our countries. So obviously mine is the US. So very first sentence, because where did all the people come from that came to America other than the Native
Guilty.
Americans?
Yeah, sorry about that.
So Britain influenced America's use of the death penalty more than any other country.
We're pretty keen.
So when European settlers came to the New World, they brought the practice of capital punishment. The first recorded execution in the new colonies. So people started coming over in the 1600s, and it was mainly English and Dutch people because they wanted religious freedom. So the first recorded execution in the colonies was that of Captain George Kendall in the Jamestown colony of Virginia in 1608. Kendall was executed for being a spy for Spain. He was...
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think at the time there was some warfare going on between England and Spain. There was always like people trying to take over territories and...
Well, it's a fucking big country. Like, if you get a foothold...
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And Christopher Columbus was Spanish as well. So, and he was one of the first explorers to come out. So yeah, that was always going on. So he was a spy for Spain. He was executed by firing squad. Executions at that time were either carried out with a firing squad or hanging. In 1612, Virginia Governor Sir Thomas Dale, he is a horrible, horrible man.
These are both quite like, it's a captain and a sir.
Yeah.
So these are both quite important people.
This is also the time where, so Sir Thomas Dale, I don't know if you've ever seen the Disney movie Pocahontas. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah.
So you know the bad guy in that?
Yeah.
I think he was based on this guy. And he was just like, when the colonies were happening, a lot of the people who were in charge were, I guess, representatives of England. So they were very hardcore in like trying to carry over what was happening in England and the rules and everything. So Sir Thomas Dale, he enacted the Divine Moral and Martial Laws, which provided the death penalty for even minor offenses, such as stealing grapes, killing chickens, pickpocketing, and trading with Indians. So he was just crazy, trigger happy with throwing out the death penalty. So each of the 13 colonies had their own death penalty laws. The Massachusetts Bay Colony, which was mostly Puritan, held its first execution in 1630, even though the capital laws of New England did not go into effect until years later. The Massachusetts Bay Colony were also the ones who executed people for being witches. They were Puritans.
Women for being gobby.
Yes.
Let's say that how it's supposed to sound. Women for being loud.
Yeah, but it also wasn't just women. It was some men too, and even some children.
Demonic shit that they think is going on, yeah.
It's just men being afraid that women and children are speaking their minds and things might change because of them.
I know.
Ridiculous.
It's just, yeah.
So the New York colony instituted the Duke's Laws of 1665. Under these laws, offenses such as striking one's mother or father or denying the true God were punishable by death. Some colonies were not as strict. For example, the New Jersey colony had no death penalty, and in the Pennsylvania colony, only murder and treason were capital crimes. In 1632, Jane Champion became the first woman executed in the new colonies. Guess what she did?
Mm. Slept with someone else.
Yes.
Than a husband.
You are correct.
Nailed it.
She had
I didn't know that either. That was a guess.
Yeah. I mean, what else would a woman have done other than, like, I don't know, kill somebody? Although she
yeah.
Technically
no,
she
I
did.
Thought it, I thought it'd be something. Yeah.
So she had an affair with another man. She had his baby, and they both tried to conceal the baby by killing it, and then both of them were executed.
Oh God, that is such a long con.
Yeah.
That's like 9 months of having to fucking
pretend.
Oh God,
I've gained weight.
Oh, when we have nothing.
Yes.
And we're like begging the natives to help us farm.
That also was I was reading this article, and around that time, between like 1610 and 1640, it was a really difficult time for women and children, especially because men could go out and hunt and trade with Native Americans and fight for food and whatever. Women and children were just mm-hmm. kind of left to their own devices of like
scavenge,
fending
like,
for themselves. So sometimes women would sleep with other men to make money or feed their children, or it was just a very desperate time, especially for women. So it was called I think it's called the starving years for the pilgrims.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, you need to watch Jamestown. Like,
I do need to
the
watch
whole
that.
Thing just looks like a holy mess.
Yes.
Like, it's really good. It's so good. And there's quite like hot guys in it in like britches. Like the ironmonger especially.
Yes.
is a treat for the eyes and the ears.
Bearded men in britches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously the women's clothes are cool to look at. Like the corsets and the skirts and stuff. But yeah, they have in the Jamestown show, I think it's pretty true to reality, because I think I've watched like series one and maybe half of two. So I'll keep watching and see if any of this crops up.
Mm, I'm sure it
does. Because I
wouldn't
be surprised if it did.
Yeah.
Because like, what the fuck else are you supposed to base the story on? Base the story on what actually happened.
Yeah. I'm just realizing now that that was what our country was based on, is just desperate people making mm-hmm. laws of like some desperate people trying to stay in power, some desperate people trying to feed their children and just live. That's what our country was based on, the very beginning of.
Well, it's the American dream, right? If the only the fit will survive, basically. If you're scrappy, you'll get through the famine.
Yeah, that's
and the
true.
Shit.
Which
like,
is,
I think that's where it's come from, which is not true.
No.
Because the cards are stacked against you.
Yeah. It's just toxic.
Dependent on your race, gender.
Right.
Looks.
Yes.
Background.
Yes. So that's where we're at. Jane Champion, first woman, was executed. No. As the colonies formed into actual states after the Revolutionary War, in which we broke off from you guys. Thanks a lot.
Ugh, bye then.
So most states kept the capital punishment regime carried over from the colonies. In the late 1700s, activists like Benjamin Rush began to argue that the death penalty should not be used. And a lot of the history that I'm about to get into was a lot of people starting to come forward and say, like, this is not cool. We should stop doing this. So Benjamin Rush began to argue that the death penalty should not be used. Between 1794 and 1815, 8 states passed laws that made fewer crimes punishable by death. So at least if you killed your chicken or pickpocketed, you wouldn't be executed by that anymore.
All serial killers live next door to someone. And Dennis Rader was no different. Better known under the pseudonym BTK, bind, torture, kill. Rader was an expert at the double life, devoted dad by day, savage killer at night. He managed to get away with murder for 3 entire decades. He built his children a treehouse that he later stashed Polaroids of his victims in. He calmed his daughter's fears when she told him she was afraid of the serial killer on the loose. "The only thing I can figure out," the killer later said, "is that I have compartmentalized somewhere in my body. I can live a normal life and quickly switch from one gear to the next. I guess that's why I got away with it." Would you be fooled by Rader's act? Find out on the next episode of The Jury Room.
Yeah.
However, many southern states made more crimes punishable by death, especially for slaves. We have to acknowledge this part of history in America.
Looking at me wrong. Death.
Yes. That is what I'm about to get into.
Breathing too loud. Death.
Yeah. Slaves, especially in the South, slaves could be punished or tortured for any reason or for no reason at all. Slaves who tried to escape or rebel were often tortured and executed where other slaves could see to warn them not to do the same thing. In the 1700s, an unknown number of slaves were executed. And I feel like, let's just call it murder. It wasn't execution. It wasn't a punishment. It was just straight up murder at that point.
Well, there wasn't a trial. There wasn't like a fucking, there wasn't a defend yourself.
No.
Tell us if you, you know.
Right.
Whereas I'm sure all the white, most vast majority of the white people that were executed had a chance to say their piece.
Yes. And it was documented.
Yeah.
An unknown number, sometimes for things like hitting another slave, in quotes, fussing or sassing a white person. So, like you just said, like looking at me the wrong way or...
I don't like your tone.
Yeah. Anything. Man, woman, child, slaves, they just did not have a chance in the South, especially.
It just shows, like, how their lives are so cheap. Then, like, you're not even thinking, oh, well, if I kill this slave, then I'm not going to have their labor. You're like, I would rather them die than think they're above me in any way.
Yeah, or like, we need to show the other slaves that this is what happens. Yeah. Oh, really sad.
Yeah.
So the Bill of Rights in 1789 included the 8th Amendment, which prohibited cruel and unusual punishment. The 5th Amendment was drafted with language implying possible use of the death penalty, requiring a grand jury indictment for capital crime and a due process of law for deprivation of life by the government. So they're starting to take it more seriously, like can't just kill someone just because they looked at you wrong. The 14th,
willy-nilly.
Yeah, the 14th Amendment adopted in 1868 also requires a due process of law for deprivation of life by any state. So, they're starting to change things. In the 1880s, more people in the U.S. and Europe began to oppose the death penalty. 3 states abolished the death penalty for murder during the 19th century. Michigan, which has never executed a prisoner since achieving statehood. Good job, Michigan.
Wow. Where is Michigan?
Michigan is near the Great Lakes.
It's, okay, so yeah, like, not, it's north, right?
It's sort of considered the Midwest, middle? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Detroit is. Everyone knows Detroit. In 1847, Wisconsin entered into the Union as a state, and it did not bring with it the death penalty. And then other states followed suit. So Maine in 1887, and then Rhode Island. Rhode Island is also a state with a long abolitionist background, having repealed the death penalty in 1852. Though it was theoretically available for murder committed by a prisoner between 1872 and 1984.
Yeah.
There's just another thing with this theme this week is, like, I could go down the rabbit holes of so many different states' decisions.
Yeah, yours is quite
complicated.
There's a lot of different options. Yes. Yeah. Whereas, like, mine is like, there, it kind of is a state, like Scotland, Wales, England, and Ireland.
Yeah.
We're pretty much
right.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So despite the rising opposition to the death penalty, people were still finding new methods for capital punishment. And in 1890, William Kemmler becomes the first person executed by electrocution.
Eesh.
I...
It's my least favorite.
It really
Thomas
is.
Thomas Edison?
I
Thomas Edison is to blame for that?
Yes. So Kemmler was, in quotes, a peddler, alcoholic, and murderer. He was convicted of murdering Matilda Ziegler, his common law wife, 2 years earlier. So he was the first guy that was executed by electrocution.
Like, I fucking highly doubt that went smoothly. I'm pretty sure that must have been a bit of a finger in the air go. And then they were like, right, next time we won't turn it up so high.
I actually, like, I think it went, like, overly successful. Like, it was over very quickly.
That went without a hitch.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
And it might have been like, oh, we did that a little bit too, we put a little bit too much voltage in that. Like, it was over very quickly. Yeah.
I would not like to see footage of that. And at the same time, I really want to see footage of that.
I think that a lot of us, the only reference I have to that method is the Green Mile.
It's got to be the Green Mile.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's the Green Mile.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go well.
It's pretty
horrible. Sorry to be a spoiler, but the film came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, what on earth are you doing in your life? Go watch it immediately.
It's so
good.
It's a great movie.
It's on every Christmas as well.
Is it? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I don't think they do that here. Like, in England and Ireland, you guys have the same movies that you show every Christmas, like, yep, between Christmas and New Year.
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
Home Alone.
Titanic. Braveheart.
That's on, yeah.
Green Mile. And...
Forrest Gump.
Yes.
That's always on. You can always catch that on a channel. And then, obviously, all your Christmas favourites.
Yes.
The Santa Claus, yeah, like I say, all the Home Alones. Jingle All the Way. Yeah. That's always on. Elf. Like,
yeah.
Beethoven. That's fucking always on at,
yeah,
Christmas. I don't think I've ever watched that outside of December. Like,
it's
you don't
just,
do that in America.
No, it's they don't do that here. And I remember the first time we moved to Ireland and seeing this on TV and then seeing it the same thing next year. Like, it's the same exact movie. Titanic, Braveheart, Shawshank.
Because it's Christmas. All right? Sit down and enjoy it. Shut up.
Just the same movies. Every, like, there's no, like, oh, this movie came out 2 years ago and it's warm and heartwarming. Like, it's just those same movies because they're classics and that's
Toy Story,
it.
Ants.
Yeah.
Ants with a Z. They're just, like, trying to keep the kids, like, occupied.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's all it is. Like,
and it's also,
and
the
no one wants to work.
Right. The people at the TV station are like, throw these movies,
yeah,
on.
They just
the longest movies that exist. Oh, Sound of Music. Yeah. That's another one.
Sound of Music's always on. Beaches. It's the equivalent of going into like school and someone wheeling in that VCR player and being like, right, today we're not learning science. We're fucking watching Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Like, from morning till night, this is all you've got and you're gonna enjoy it.
Teacher with a fag on. It's like, thank the Lord it's over.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Green Mile, Electrocution, watch that movie.
Right back to where we started. Yeah. Yeah.
And then in 1924, the use of cyanide gas was first introduced as an execution method. So the gas chamber.
When was this?
1924.
After the First World War, I think they probably figured out.
Yep.
Because that was like part of First World Warfare.
Yes.
Gas attacks.
Yeah. And when I drove through the states last year, when I drove from California to Minnesota, we stopped in, I think it was Nebraska, and I sent you pictures of the prison that we stopped outside of.
Yeah, you did.
And we missed the tour by like half an hour, but you could go and stand in one of those gas chambers that they had that obviously isn't used anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, super creepy.
I don't know if I'd want to do that. Like,
very creepy.
Yeah.
I think I'd go in for a second and then, like, oh, I did it.
Like, someone behind you would have to, like, push you in. Like, like, stop it.
Yeah.
Or just, like, come up behind you and go,
no. Oh, man.
You're like, fuck off.
That just gave me chills. I did not like that feeling.
That's what having brothers is.
Yeah.
Constantly tormented.
Constantly in a state of fear.
Constantly one eye over the back of your fucking shoulder going, what are you going to poke me with?
Fall on my head.
What stinks?
What? Yes.
What have you stolen? What is that noise?
What is that disgusting noise?
And why is it coming closer? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Back to the death penalty.
Yeah.
So other states which abolished the death penalty for murder before Gregg versus Georgia, which was a case in which they were trying to abolish the death penalty, like, for everyone. So it included Minnesota in 1911, Vermont in 1964, Iowa and West Virginia in 1965, and North Dakota in 1973. Hawaii abolished the death penalty in 1948 and Alaska in 1957, both before their statehood. So before they even became states, they were like, we're not on board with this.
Good.
Puerto Rico repealed it in 1929 and the District of Columbia in 1981. Arizona and Oregon abolished the death penalty by popular vote in 1916 and 1964, respectively. But both
didn't see that coming.
But both reinstated it again by popular vote.
Oh,
some years later.
That's the thing. It just goes with America. It goes back and forth.
Yeah,
quite a lot.
It's crazy, and a lot of it is because some politician wants to be popular and just get the vote. So Arizona reinstated the death penalty in 1918, and Oregon in 1978. In Oregon, the measure reinstating the death penalty was overturned by the Oregon Supreme Court in 1981, but Oregon voters again reinstated the death penalty in 1984. This is when I was like going down holes and I was like, this is just one example of how back and forth it is and how stressful it's got to be. Especially if you're in prison waiting for the death penalty.
Old Sparky gets on and off like fucking Blackpool Illuminations.
Oh, no, time to turn it off for a while.
Don't get rid of it, though. We'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't turn the electricity off completely. Keep paying that bill for a while.
Just unplug it.
Yeah. So Puerto Rico and Michigan are the only two U.S. jurisdictions to have explicitly prohibited capital punishment in their constitutions.
Puerto Rico is a fucking American state.
It's not a state. It's like a...
Oh, like a jurisdiction.
Yes. Yes.
Like, we have the Commonwealth, don't we, in England?
Right.
Like, Canada is a Commonwealth of England.
Yes.
So, like, our queen is on their notes.
Right.
For no reason.
Just come over and visit.
She has no business.
It's just her vacation home, basically. One of them.
Yeah. We've still got a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. In the 1950s and 60s, it saw public protests over capital punishment, and the number of executions in America gradually declined. Before the 1960s, the 5th, 8th, and 14th Amendments were interpreted as permitting the death penalty. However, in the early 1960s, it was suggested that the death penalty was a cruel and unusual punishment, and therefore unconstitutional. In 1958, the Supreme...
I don't feel like the Constitution should be up for debate. I don't feel like it should be vague. Like,
this...
It's a law. It should be ironclad.
The issue, and I was thinking this while I was writing this, the Constitution was written in the 1700s and 1800s by men who still owned slaves, who had guns, who...
whose wives were their property.
Had land and farms, and their wives and children were their property. There are so many people in America who are extremely patriotic, and they're like, this is the Constitution, this is my rights. And it's like, things change, dude. Like, it's time to...
Yeah, like, we don't build houses with fucking, like, clay and wood anymore. Right. It's shit design. Like,
yes, we now have
cars.
There's
better ways to do things.
Drive fast. Yeah. We don't have horses anymore that get us around. Like, you can't keep relying on the Constitution to tell you exactly what to do, because you're right. It's so vague.
The times are a changing. Like,
yes.
It's not even the same language, really,
no.
that we use now.
Yeah.
Like, it's so far gone.
Yes. So in 1958, the Supreme Court had decided that the Eighth Amendment contained an evolving standard of decency that marked the progress of maturing society. And they used this case, the Tropp versus Duelist case. And even though it was it wasn't a death penalty case, abolitionists applied the court's logic to executions and maintained that the United States had, in fact, progressed to a point that its standard of decency should no longer tolerate the death penalty. And this was around the time when, in the 1960s, when Nixon was trying to be president, and there were people like that who, it was basically now, like people like Trump, who were very much...
Fucking assholes.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Just very right-wing people who were trying to uphold, you
Christian
know,
values.
Christian values, like... and old school values, like even segregation. They were trying to uphold that for like white America.
Do you know what fucks me off? Like, I'm gonna have a little mini rant here.
Okay.
Like, the same fucking right-wing Christians that are so fucking obsessed with the fact that like the caliphate and the Taliban are gonna ruin our way of living. You basically want their way of living. They don't like gay people. You don't like gay people. You don't want women to have rights over their own body. They don't want women to have rights over their own body.
Right.
You think there should be the death penalty for, you know, fucking minorish things.
Yeah. You think it should exist.
You are miles apart.
Right.
Like, you're just calling God Allah or God.
Yeah.
It's, you think you should be able to have guns and shoot whoever you want? Snap. Like... You are the fucking Taliban of the South.
It's like the same extremist values that...
They're nearly identical.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I agree.
It's scary.
It is scary.
So go fuck yourself, is what I'm saying.
And on that note...
Yeah, sorry, rant over.
No, that's... you're totally right, especially at this time. It's just like Texas... People have been joking about... how Texas is becoming the Taliban, and Texas is the people in Texas, especially those group of people, are the last people that want to be associated with the Taliban. And it's just like, take a look at yourself,
right?
Pal.
Exactly. Don't like what you see?
Yeah.
Fucking pot calling the kettle black, if you ask me, sir. Do you have that saying in America?
Yes, we do.
You probably don't say it as much. We say it a fair amount.
We use it a lot here too.
Yeah.
It's still pretty, yeah. Okay, so back to this. There's still a little bit more to go. So at the time, presidential candidate Barry Goldwater, he began a decades-long politicization of the crime in the streets, in quotes, which morphed under President Richard Nixon into, in quotes, war on crime. And actually, side note, before that was President Lyndon Johnson's war on poverty. So they kind of forgot about the war on poverty.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think, like, it was...
Does that mean you hate poverty or you're trying to get rid of it?
They're just trying to get rid of it. It was just, it seemed like a little bit more of, like, a focus on, like, let's help people get out of poverty, and rather Nixon...
The social elements, yes, rather than shutting the door after the horse has bolted.
Yes. And they changed that war on poverty of, like, okay, we need to look at poverty and figure out what we could do to it. Nixon took that over and changed it to the war on crime, which is like, okay, anyone who's in poverty, it's their fault. They're the criminals. Like, that's what it changed over to, basically.
To prison with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was predicated in part of the idea that executing people would solve a number of difficult societal challenges. And this is their way of thinking of, like, oh, if we have the death penalty, it'll stop people. It'll make people think twice of doing something really bad because they could be at risk of getting the death penalty. Whereas, like...
Yeah, that's worked for the last 400 years.
If you think of any criminal, they are not thinking about, oh, I better not do this because I might get the death penalty. Nobody in the history of anything has thought that.
I know. I know. And I don't know why. It's because the type of person to do it, like, either does it on a whim, mm-hmm, or they're not in their right mind, they don't think they're going to get caught, or, you know, plenty of reasons. But
whereas a politician is thinking by the books and by the rules, and a politician might think, oh, if I get caught, I might get the death penalty, so I better instate the death penalty so other people don't do it. It's like...
Yeah, this is an example of somebody thinking of something from their point of view only.
Yes.
Yeah. Not like, I have to be a drug dealer because that's the only path in my life I can take because my mum was on crack and left me with my grandma, and I can't get a job at a local place because people are like, no, you look poor. I don't want to hire you.
Yeah.
Or you don't talk right. I don't want to hire
you. Your skin or your last name doesn't sound white enough.
Yep, so I'm not going to hire you. So you can either starve to death or you can start selling drugs, which is easy, quick money and get some money to, like, feed your family.
Yes, that's very legit way into crime.
Like, path of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this time, Nixon was still trying to push it. And at the time, the methods of execution were... hanging, firing squad, electric chair, and the gas chamber. Those were the main methods that were being used still.
Mm.
So, in 1972, there was insurgence between the states on capital punishment. Some made execution mandatory for everyone convicted of capital murder. There was a huge, just, you know, some states were like, no, we're not doing it, and other states pushed even harder. In Furman versus Georgia, the U.S. Supreme Court considered a group of consolidated cases. This was, like, really big in this part of history because they don't normally, like, group a bunch of cases together and then make one whole decision. So in this case, they did that. The lead case involved an individual convicted under Georgia's death penalty statute, which featured a unitary trial procedure in which the jury was asked to return a verdict of guilty or innocent, and simultaneously determine whether the defendant would be punished by death or life imprisonment. So that was the first time that that happened, where the jury was given that decision.
I just don't know, like, you're like, should it be a judge saying that, or should it be the people? Because you're judged by the people, like,
right?
Oh, it's so fucking, because people have biases, but then so does one person, like, Don't do God's work for him. Like, not that I even believe in God, but, you know, it's just like a metaphor, really. But...
Yes. And...
You're not God is kind of the thing.
You're not God and you...
Or an omnipotent force of any other description that you'd like to use instead of God.
It's like, but it's very like, you know, if there was a case where somebody raped and murdered a child, I think everyone on that jury would be like, man, this guy is horrible and he's done it six times and of course he has no rehabilitation.
What good is he?
Exactly. What?
But then you said, what do you do? Like, isn't it worse to just be alive and be in prison and have a shitty life for the rest of your life, which would be like 40 years or 30 years or whatever?
Sit there and think about it.
Because most men commit crimes in their 20s and 30s.
Right. So in that case, in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court struck down the impositions of the death penalty in each of the consolidated cases as unconstitutional in violation of the 8th and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution. So they were looking at that case as well as a bunch of other cases. In this, when they were deciding this big bulk of sentences, they caused all death sentences pending at the time to be reduced to life imprisonment and was described by scholars as a legal bombshell. So they looked at all these cases and they were like, no, none of them are going to go to the death penalty. They're just going to have life imprisonment.
I remember that happening.
That was in 1972, so I don't know how you would remember that.
That happened with some big killers. I remember, like, researching, and I remember, like, because some people were saying, like, why wasn't BTK, put to death for what he did?
Yes.
And it's, like, because at the time he committed the crimes, the death penalty wasn't an option.
Exactly.
So they couldn't posthumously, like, do it.
Yes, yes.
They couldn't say, like, everybody who murdered someone in 1970 is now...
Right.
Gonna have to retrial and maybe get the death penalty. They were like, right, no, from now on.
Yeah. For that small space of time, they were like, okay, everyone here gets life in prison.
We just call it quits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a huge, they said it was a legal bombshell. And the next day, columnist Barry Schweed wrote that it was unlikely that the death penalty could exist anymore in the United States. So a lot of people thought, like, okay, this is it. We're not going to have the death penalty anymore. But
I got some news for you.
Yeah. Mr. Little Schweed. Did they know.
Little did you know.
Instead of abandoning capital punishment, 37 states enacted new death penalty statuses. Some states responded by enacting mandatory death penalty statutes, which prescribed a sentence of death for anyone convicted of a certain form of murder. From the 70s until now, the methods of execution was reduced to lethal injection in most of those states. However, I'm going to go over other states still to this day have other forms of execution. Lethal injection was introduced at that time, and it was considered the cheapest and most humane over electrocution or the gas chamber. A little bit about lethal injection. It was first used by Nazi Germany. I feel like anything used by Nazi Germany in terms of like death
should probably stay away from that PR wise. Like, it seems a bit of a nightmare.
Don't take things that you've learned from the Nazis and be like, we'll start introducing that statewide to everyone.
That is the fucked up thing. Like, because they could do whatever they wanted, human experiment wise, they found out things about the human body that we may have not known until like now.
Gives me the
because
creeps.
It's fucking inhumane, like, to do what they did. They're fucking grim.
I was gonna go into like what the lethal injection is, but I'm gonna condense it down because we've been talking a lot for a long time.
Okay.
But it's basically, at the time, it was three shots of sodium thiopental barbiturate anesthetic and pancuronium. So one of them is like supposed to sedate you, One of them is supposed to paralyze you, and then potassium chloride, which induces cardiac arrest.
Basically like bleach, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Like, potassium chloride isn't something you inject into anyone for good.
No.
Whereas, like, benzodiazepines are like Valium and Xanax.
Yeah, they slow your heart rate down.
Yeah, so thinking about that, because remember we were saying, like, if it went horribly wrong, you wouldn't know because the first one paralyzes you.
Yeah.
Like, sedates you to the point where you can't move that much.
Right. You're just basically almost in a coma at that point.
Well, with a big injection of barbiturates.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, in, what's it called? The Wolf of Wall Street, where he has lewds.
Yes.
That's in the family of barbiturates.
Right.
Drugs.
Right.
You just completely out of it.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me think anything to do with barbiturates is pretty calming.
Mm.
It's anti-convulsive. Like, although you would still, even if you were on barbiturates, you'd still think, fuck, I can't breathe.
Right. I don't know if you're in a coma,
no way of
though,
knowing.
You're, like, you could still hear, too. And you could still think.
Yeah.
You can dream. So you can imagine
a barbiturate
that
isn't a painkiller.
No.
It's like a,
it's just,
yeah, it doesn't kill your pain.
Right.
There is no painkiller involved in any of that.
No.
It's just relaxant.
Yeah.
And then kill you.
Yeah.
There's no painkiller involved whatsoever, which is what, if it was truly humane, they would give you a huge dose of morphine.
Yeah.
As well. But they're not going to do that because morphine is fucking blissful.
Right. And you shouldn't be blissful if you are on the death penalty.
A child rapist, murderer, piece of shit.
If all goes to plan, though, it only takes about 2 to 5 minutes. So, and it hasn't gone to plan sometimes. There was one account, and
oh,
I talked
man.
About it, I think, in a previous episode, about somebody who, it went wrong. It went horribly wrong, and he could feel everything.
Like
and
how?
Then, yeah. And it like, lately, we could go down that whole rabbit hole of, like, how in the past, like, 10, 20 years, other countries, like, we get our lethal injection mixtures from other countries like France, and they've stopped mm-hmm. making it. So some states have started looking for even cheaper options, and it's just a big mess.
Savagery.
Yes. So the first execution by lethal injection took place at the state penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas in 1982. Charles Brooks Jr., convicted of murdering an auto mechanic, was injected with all three shots. And yeah, it's now the sole method used in U.S. federal death penalty executions. Not
oh,
state,
okay.
Though.
So if it's a federal crime, you can't choose.
Yeah, you're right.
And to be federal, it has to be across a couple of states, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Which was that Ted Bundy? It might have been Ted Bundy. But that might have been.
But is that the only way that it's federal? Or if you call them in because it's in, like, a national park, or it's just really complicated? Or is it just, like, two states' business, so they go, fuck it, federal?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
More than one state is just, that's what brings in the whole federal thing. So, along with Japan, Taiwan, and Singapore, the United States is one of four advanced democracies and the only Western nation that applies the death penalty regularly.
The only Western?
Yeah.
Is it the only Western one, is it? Do you remember I was going out with that stupid cunt that said Japan was a Western country? I'm so glad I dumped his ass. What a fucking moron.
Yeah, this, according to this article, also I got a lot of this from deathpenaltyinfo.org. So,
if I see that guy, I'm going to punch him straight in the neck.
Just send him deathpenalty.org and ask him what he thinks.
I'll send him a fucking map. What, are you fucking blind?
Yeah. Like...
Anyway, let's not get into it.
Dude. Okay. So it's the U.S. is one of 54 countries worldwide applying it, and it is the first to develop the lethal injection as a method of execution, which has since been adopted by 5 other countries. I just feel like this is, out of all the countries in the world, if you're a country that's doing something this extreme, then maybe take a look at yourself and like join in work. With the majority of countries.
It doesn't work as a deterrent.
No.
The proof is there.
Yeah. So there's this thing called the ESPY file, and it was compiled by M. Watt Espy and John Ortiz Smikla. And it lists that 15,269 people executed in the United States and its predecessor colonies between 1608 and 1991. So over 15,000 people have been executed. And I also didn't even get into like military executions. That's another thing that a rabbit hole that we can go down. Some states, even today, still include electrocution, hanging, firing squad, and gas chamber as a method of execution. Those states are Delaware, Florida, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Ohio, Utah, Washington, Wyoming, Tennessee, South Carolina, and California.
Didn't expect Washington to be on there.
Well,
obviously, we all guess Florida.
Yes.
And California, you fucking love it.
In California, we still have the gas chamber, which I just feel like...
I think that's from gang problems. Like, I feel like California is very liberal, but I feel like in like the 80s, you had a lot of gang murders and a lot of race war.
Right.
And I feel like that's probably perpetuated the use of the death penalty.
Yes. But I
think it would
know...
have been gone if it wasn't for that.
Possibly. California is such a big state, just like Texas and Florida. It's just like there's so much going on, so many people to govern that it's just, and so many people with so many different opinions. But I was just shocked that California still uses the gas chamber as a method, not just lethal injection like most other states.
Well, San Quentin is like, it's like hell on earth. Yeah. So there's probably a gas chamber there.
I'm
like,
sure.
I would have thought.
Okay, so this last little bit. So in the last month of his presidency, President Donald Trump presided over the deaths of 13 prisoners, with 6 conducted after he lost the election. So that's never been done before, where a president is like, I'm still going forward with this, even though... Because normally... a president or a presidential candidate will be for execution in a form of like getting more votes. But Trump, he had lost the presidency.
Just wanted to kill people.
He just wanted to have that under his belt. He broke various...
He's a fucking psychopath.
He is. And I just was watching the news today and he's talking about running for 2024.
Man. I think since he's been banned from Twitter, like, I think it's pushed him underground.
Yes, which is scary.
And I think he's now... It is scary, but I think it gives him far less chance of winning.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because he doesn't have a mainstream platform. And if you're a fucking old boomer,
you
don't know how to get onto the channels that he may or may not be on now. Like, underground, like, fucking chat rooms and stuff.
Chat rooms.
Like,
I just imagine him in a basement, like... on an old
4chan.
Computer. Yeah.
That's what I mean, though. Like, they've been forced off of, like, mainstream internet.
Right.
So if you don't know how to use that and you're not a neo-Nazi...
But he has people who does.
You probably don't have
that's
as much.
What's scary. He has people who does. He broke various records, including the most federal executions in 7 months in history. And it's the first time a president had ever set executions after losing an election.
That shouldn't be allowed.
No. It's weird.
You don't run the country anymore.
Right.
It's not your choice anymore.
So as of December 16th, 2020, 2,591 convicts are still on death row. And that is the very condensed, many rabbit holes to go down, history of the death penalty in America.
That was amazing. Well done. But
thanks.
This was more depressing than I thought
it would
is.
Be. Like, yes.
I didn't think it. I thought it'd be super interesting, but actually it's just making me sad.
I think it's very interesting, especially the progression of like the public coming forward and more people saying, hey, this is not cool. We should stop doing this. and things actually people changing. With,
people getting
of that.
A fucking brain in their nut.
Yeah. Yes. That took a
people,
long
people
time.
People being able to go to school instead of like fucking people learning like people. Oh, dude, I'm just like, I'm so angry. I can't even talk.
Nothing wrong with like working on a farm or a factory, but like the like America did become more educated.
But it's more about like mainstream media news. Like mm-hmm. the more you find out about the world and the more you find out about other people's cultures and your culture and how you feel about that, that's how you can decide if you're if you think you're being fair.
Right.
Whereas like if you all you have to concentrate on is doing your farm work or doing your manual labor or whatever,
in your own
then
little
like you don't have time to fucking educate yourself.
Exactly.
You've got a fucking job to do.
Yeah.
You know, people go, oh, the liberal elite, blah blah blah. I don't think there's anything fucking wrong with educating yourself.
No, and that is why like when a lot of people like criticize New York City or Los Angeles or the big cities for being really liberal, but it's like, yes, it's because when you're in a big city,
it's a melting pot.
Yeah, you deal with so many different
people
and different
from other
opinions and lives, and which is a good thing, people.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing. I had never met anyone that I knew was Muslim until I moved to London.
Mm, yeah.
I've told you this before. Like, this guy, Jahid, I was like, why doesn't Jahid drink? And they were like, because he's Muslim. I was like, what? Yeah. Aww. It just didn't even occur to me. Like, that's why he wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, mind blown. Yeah. I'm from Andover.
Yeah. I feel, like, pretty lucky that I did grow up in a big city and I did have all different people that I grew up with. So you had a very different upbringing than I did being from, like, a small town like Andover, whereas, like,
very much.
Mine was very different, and I'm really grateful for that. And I think everyone should be exposed to go out into the world and experience other people, and then
either
come
go
back.
Traveling or go or go to uni or move to a big city,
right?
Like, do something where you fucking meet people that you haven't known for like 25 years.
Exactly.
Because it teaches you that for the majority, people are really fucking lovely.
And we're all
so
the same.
So take care of yourselves and each other.
We all have very similar wants and needs at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're all hungry.
Like, it was.
We all need to sleep. We all take shits.
We all need a hug. We all take shits. Defo. All right. So, Rach, that was fantastic. And
thanks.
We will hear about English hideousness.
I am so excited.
Next week. And for once, it's worse than yours.
All right. Thanks, Talissa.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at @TransatCrimePod, Instagram at @TransatlanticCrime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.